Hey, this is Danny.
Hey, this is Mike.
And you're corralling.
With Sound Sessions.
All right, all right, all right.
Yeah.
Dust it off, make it new again. I don't want to talk with you but much of anything. The rain outside on the gravel sounds like the crackle of the fire behind your parents' big blue house in the town we grew up in. The end of the block, yeah, not making sense in my head. Oh man, just like the time that I lived with Rob and his friends on the lakefront, yeah. Got a knack for condescension, and you're the queen of passive aggression, and you can taste the palpable tension. Oh yeah. Sails, put them on your back. Everyone is bleeding red and green and blue and black. The orange and the yellows, pinks and the purples. Tried walking straight, but I just went in circles all day, all night, high noon, midnight. Left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right. Oh, oh, oh. Got a knack for condescension. Oh, and you're the queen of passive aggression. Yeah, and you can taste the palpable tension. Oh yeah.
Woo.
Woo indeed.
Did we just start?
I think we did.
That was pretty great.
That was awesome, man.
I had fun.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Sound Sessions. I am Kevin.
And hey, what's up? I'm Mike.
And I am delighted to be joined by my buddies and also a band that I'm actually a fan of, Corral. Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Want to say your names?
Well, hello, my name is Michael Thomas.
And what do you do, Michael Thomas?
I play bass in Corral.
That's great.
My name is Danny Kalasic.
And?
And I play guitar and sing in a band called Corral.
And you just did that for us, and it sounded great. And Corral is here. They just put out Rain Dance, an EP. They have a conjoining music video that's pretty cool. I'd like to talk about that in a little bit. But let's talk about the title track, Rain Dance. That is my jam. Honestly, I love that song. And at the start of it, we were talking about it, you know, off the record a little bit ago, mm-hmm. about how you start the track with the sound of a thunderstorm. That's not a sound effect. That's an actual thunderstorm that happened while you guys were recording, yeah?
Yeah, we were trying to lay down the track, and it just started pouring, like, insane, like...
While recording...
While we were trying to record in the
Rain
room.
Dance
while
itself?
We were recording in the... Yeah, Rain Dance.
How funny is that?
Crazy.
So we just hustled to get mics, and mm-hmm. we're just finding blankets and stuff to hold over them, so we didn't want to ruin these $1,000 microphones, but
sure.
we just tracked this thunderstorm for like 10, 15 minutes, and then just used that to start the song.
Because it was bleeding onto the tracks, so we had to take a break anyway.
Why not embrace it, right?
So we just went with it.
Yeah, it works really well.
There's a positive in everything.
Right.
Look at that. So let's talk about the music video for Rain Dance.
This one's to Danny.
Okay.
For sure. He tackled this one and took charge with it, and I was just so stoked when I saw it, so please.
Well, my friend Anna is, we actually just had her thesis show, and she's a videographer and just general artist, conceptual artist, all kinds of wonderfulness, and I had seen some of her work while she was just over at my house kind of hanging out, and I caught it out of the corner of my eye, and I was like, what is that? And she was like...
So it was already a standalone project?
No, I'm sorry. She was working on her thesis, and I was like, what is that? And she was like, oh, I'm just like, you know, I do this video stuff. And I had no idea about that, that she did that. So I was like, hey, this is Rain Dance. Like, all I have for you to go off of is Oranges. It's the album cover. It's like an important fruit to me. Which I can go into detail
about. Yeah, let's talk about that. Or colors in general, seems to be a bit of a running theme.
Colors are big for me. But, oranges is I went on a trip to Greece with my yaya and my sisters and my mother. And we have family over there, and they own orange groves and, like, fig groves and olive trees, and we came in orange season. Mm-hmm. So when we went, that was what we had for breakfast every day. And it was, like, out of all of the food that we had, that's the one that stands out the most.
Oranges fresh off the family farm.
Yeah, exactly.
And that seems to have kind of stuck with you. As he shows the tattoo on the arm.
Oh, that's great.
That's really cool, man.
Thanks. Yeah, I remember being at practice, like, I have an idea for the cover. And I was like, what? He's like, I'm just going to go home and I'll send you a picture. He cut an orange slice.
And laid it across my favorite shirt.
And just took a picture of it.
I got to be honest, there's like a thing, it's been a while, but I like to take photos of just fruits cut in half in general. There's something about it that's just
they're
natural
beautiful.
Beauty, you know?
Right. A lot of feminine imagery in that as well, which... it's all right.
Not mad at it. Definitely.
So what about all the stream of colors? Because I know in the one you just sang, there was a thread of colors going on there, and I don't remember which other song it was, but there's also a string of colors in that song. What's up with that?
Colors just have a lot of connection, obviously, to, I'm sure, most people, but for me, just mood and emotion and vibe and... The lyrics in Rain Dance, everyone is bleeding red and blue and green and red again and black and yellow, black and orange and some
I have to do
colors.
If I don't start it at the
everyone
beginning.
Everyone is bleeding red and blue and green and red again and
yellow.
And
yellow, purple, orange and yellow, black and white and orange and oh no.
Yeah. That's just kind of like, that one was about how like people say that like, they bleed a certain color. Like, oh, I bleed blue. Like, I bleed for this thing.
Mm-hmm. I bleed red for the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah.
Sorry. I had to throw it in. I know they sucked, but I still do it.
Yeah.
You can still bleed that color.
Yeah, you bleed whatever you want, man.
I guess I do bleed red.
Yeah, I was going to say, you actually bleed red
anyway. Figuratively, I'm bleeding red.
But it's kind of like about how everyone's convictions and like morals or whatever are kind of ephemeral. And ever-changing and subject to, you know, a shelf life. And that's a bummer sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. But I like that a lot.
A lot of thought must go into your songwriting process and everything. How long does it take you guys to usually write a song?
We poop them out, actually.
Oh, my gosh. it's truly, to me, even incredible of how easy we're able to do this. It's simple. What we're doing isn't complex. We're not trying to shred or...
Don't cut yourself short here. I mean, like what you were just doing, the Rain Dance colors, that's not easy to do, especially while playing and you're stringing off these things. And I mean, you're messing with pedals. You're riffing still. It's not like you're writing, you know, a two-chord song or anything like that.
I think it's just easy because I've played with Danny for a while now and...
6 years.
Yeah, it's like 6 years and I just was a fan of him before I played with him and am currently a fan of how he writes these songs. And when he first started showing me this chorale stuff, we were in a different band, but he was like, yeah, I'm playing this stuff. I call it chorale. I thought it was super cool just based on the name itself. I really liked that. But I heard in my head like what I would want to do to that if I played bass. And I think that's why it just works.
Yeah.
Like, he can just do his thing and I can just do my thing.
Yeah.
And it just really gels.
And Mike is like a hard strumming and like effect using bass player that, I mean, he plays guitar in Fade.
Yep.
And did a lot of great guitar work in Orman Lang as well.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So
I love those bands.
Yeah, they're really fantastic.
Right. So solid.
So it's really wonderful to have him to kind of like fall, like to hold down the tune and like fill out that sound
for
and
sure.
Act partially as like baritone guitar
nice.
In a lot of ways. Right. And allows me for me to like kind of free up and sing and do some soundscape type of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's often like the, especially when creating a band, it's like you're, you know, no one can be the weak link. I mean, and you have
Everyone's got a role or a purpose.
Exactly.
Knowing your role is a big thing, well, I think.
I think that's the huge thing about bands, and I think a lot of problems bands have is people want a different role. They don't want to just take a role.
Yeah.
Some people want to do everything. I mean, I look back to like an interview with Chris Novoselic, who played bass in Nirvana, and he just was like, I'm just here to serve the song. And that's what I like. That's how I approach it. Like, yes, I want to put my touch on it, but I'm here really to just serve this song and do my portion of it.
That, we actively say at practice, keep it simple.
Yeah.
Right.
When something's getting too cute or too out there, like formally or whatever, we're just like, who the fuck are we? You know, like, we're Corral. Like, this is, we've been doing it the same the whole time. Like, let's not get away from our, what we like to do.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something to that. Like, writing for a song and not for yourself, you know what I mean? Or like, what's the quote in sports? It's like, play for the logo on the front of the jersey, not the name on the back of the jersey.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I mean? Yeah, quite a bit like that. What I want to get into Corral. I didn't know that was just, I wasn't sure if that was like a collaborative name effort. Like, it sounds like you already kind of had that in your mind for some reason.
It just felt like the songs that I was writing at the time. And me, well, Alex Rodriguez and I, Mike and I had played in a group with before, he was there at the beginning as well, but I had kind of invited him into that partnership as well. And they were kind of like, they just had the same vibe as the music that we were like, that word. I don't know, like, what even about it? It's like a communicative sort of like thing, like to corral, to bring together in a way. But it also has just like a jump to it. I don't know, just like the way the stress and unstress kind of sit next to each other. Yeah, I just like that.
I like the sound of it too. It works, and now it has a thing. You guys are Corral. It's just
right.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. So what was I going to bring up here? Let's see. I want to get into some of the influences. I feel like at times I hear something that sounds like a Minus the Bear riff, which I fucking love. I love Minus the Bear. But then the other times there's like you're way off the map. What are some of your influences? And Michael, you as well.
Minus the Bear, was my very favorite band.
They're great.
I literally used to learn Dave Knudsen's parts before I went to go to Minus the Bear shows in case he got hurt. I was like, maybe he'll be
sick. I got
sick.
This. Don't worry.
Like, I don't know. Like, it's happened in the history of rock music.
Oh yeah.
So I was like, and no one else can play those fucking parts because they're weird.
That is so funny. So, what was that classic story of like the drummer who?
It was Keith Moon.
That's right. And they just had some random guy for the one night just come up and play the drums.
So I would just.
Yeah.
And just like, I love that band.
Yeah.
But Beach
great.
Boys really big for me as well,
yeah.
As far as songwriting goes and like thinking about music. They were the first band where I was able to hear the different parts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like how when you like to a non-music like listener or like writer, I would say like it just all sounds like one thing. But I remember listening to Pet Sounds with my dad,
mm-hmm.
and being like, that's the bass. That's the tenor. That's the, you know, like I was able to, or like high voice, whatever I called it in my head,
mm-hmm.
at the time. And I think I was like 8. So yeah, those are my two big ones.
Mr. Thomas?
I mean, my musical influences personally, I don't know if they necessarily shine through in like my favorite band, Blink-182. You know, I don't know how much of that's really coming through, minus the fact of like
keep it
simplicity.
Simple.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I kind of grew up on stuff like that. But when I heard Danny's songs, my head immediately thought of the Deftones bass. So I always try to channel when it's like larger that. When we record, I double a lot of the bass because I just want it to be bigger. It can't be loud enough.
Yeah, he's a big bass player for sure.
And just how, because the Deftones have pretty songs. I mean, especially, I know they just released this current album, but the one before that,
Right.
I don't want to mispronounce it, but yeah. There's tracks on there that are just so chill, like very ambient.
Yeah.
You know, there's mm-hmm. some Minus the Bear sounding delay stuff going on.
Right.
But so I kind of saw a piece of what I wanted to do in Corral, like in the Deftones. Even though that's not like a band I want to sit here and say is like a huge influence on me personally, but that sound I heard
mm-hmm.
paired up with. And we always joke about it, like Danny plays out of these very little amps, and they sound great. That's not a diss at all. I'm playing out of an Ampeg 8x10 or a Sun 2x15 and like big distortion and huge bass. And it's just so funny almost to see visually on stage this very little amp and like clean delay sound and then this very big sounding bass coming out of this very big cab. Mm-hmm. It just to me paints this funny picture.
This David and Goliath thing.
Yeah.
I like that David and Goliath thing. I want to talk about your live show too. You guys really seem like you're having a good time when you're playing music.
Well,
and
dude,
not really like taking yourselves too seriously or anything like that. I mean, it's a great vibe.
I have a really bad habit right now of like stopping songs if I fuck something up.
But that's smart though. I think it's smart.
Because I'm just like, hold on, dude. We did not like practice all week to fucking come here and like me not give you this song the right way. Mm-hmm. You know, especially.
Having seen you guys do that at your last show at the dojo, it doesn't come off weird or anything. You guys, it's still...
Well, because it's, you know, we're all human beings.
Right.
I want you to hear the song the right way. And I don't always play it perfectly. No, of course. But if it's like in the first 5 seconds, all right, hold on. Whatever.
Carell's show is very like with minimal egos going on in like the live performance sort of. I mean, in Carell in general. But like, it's like... We're just here.
We're just here to... Like we were talking about earlier about serving the song, mm-hmm. we just want to be the part of the night.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we're playing this show, but friends are there.
Right.
And people are hanging out. People are corralling around, and we just want to provide our part of it. There's a part from the crowd. Like, I want that energy. That's a part of the show. So when you're feeling all those vibes going back and forth, it's like being around friends, you know, creating that bond through the music together. So I don't feel weird if I'm like, hold on, wait. Let me start this over.
Yeah.
Yeah. It gets rid of the them. Like, there's us and them. It's all, it just becomes just us.
That's pretty cool.
Music's not perfect.
No.
You know, and I know in like a...
It's weird.
I feel like I'm about to go on a little tangent.
No,
here. I'm sorry to cut you off. But like, I feel like everyone went through this phase, like, over the last few years where it's like, we can make the drums perfect and the snare can be on time for every hit. It's not like that.
No.
It's
not
like that. You know...
Like hyper-calculated, I think of like just some like chug metal bands where it's like every time they chug and then in between each chug it's just dead silence.
Right.
There's no way.
That's not
come
possible.
On.
Your amp's got a little bit of a buzz.
Yeah,
or a
you're hearing
bit of
some cymbals.
There's something there. I was very adamant when we recorded this last record. I want to set my bass cab up. I want to stand in the room with my pedals, just put a mic in front of it. That's how we're going to record it. And we're going to do it twice to make it huge. And then that's just going to be it. We don't have to go in and make every pause silent and... Sorry.
No, that's...
No, it's so true.
Different.
Like, imperfection is the perfection. I mean, a lot of those, like, great metal bands, I mean... from the start, I mean, the Beatles performed on... I know you're not a fan of the Beatles, but they
it's not
did...
that I'm not a... That's
Wait,
a whole different discussion. It's not that I'm not a fan.
I'm
just
sorry
think
to open that can of worms.
They're a little bit overrated, that's all. But that's another discussion.
But like, with their music, it's like they recorded on old school, like, mono stereos and stuff like that, and that's what kind of brings this genuineness to a band that you don't really see today with music. And you're dead on, because I've listened to some great metal albums, and then I've listened to some really, really shitty, like, you know, just perfect... Horribly perfect albums.
It doesn't sound real.
Mm-mm.
You know?
Right.
That's what I dislike about it.
Sounds like robots are playing music.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just like a dissonance between like what the kind of music is and its perfection. Like metal music is supposed to be like crazy and hectic and like, you know, like cathartic and like intense. Like, why would you want that to be perfect? Like, maybe if you're doing like a Kesha album, then quantize that shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
But like, what?
Yeah, I agree.
Having seen I like the Kesha reference.
Mm-hmm.
Having seen you guys, well, even you've done it live. I've seen it done on social media. Is Carell both or all an adjective, a verb, a noun, an adverb, and so on and so on? You guys use it pretty liberally.
We used it as our personal names for a while.
Yeah.
Like, you're Carell, and we are Carell.
I believe that's still how we're described on all of our sites. It's just bass Carell.
All of our bios are just, we're a band from Chicago called Carell.
Again, it's...
Dude, and that's how it should... Until you're inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Right.
I want to just say a really cool thing about that show we had at the dojo. We got... some friends of ours in a band called Santa that's from Chicago to come and be like a special guest, like secret band for the night. And they're in a band that's like got a lot of things going for them. They've been hitting the road. They've been doing South by Southwest, like a lot of great things.
Very
put
talented.
Out this record in November called Chico that was like great.
We had them on for it.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Exactly. So they played this show, you know, and it's like in the DIY community in a basement, and it was incredible. But to not have that ego of, oh, like they sold out Lincoln Hall for their show, and yeah. they then came to our release show and played in this basement in the DIY community, like not having that ego. And they were all just as stoked, if not more stoked, to do it, because I don't ever want to lose that. I'm not anything, but if I ever get to play huge stadiums, like I want to still be able to come to a city and play a basement or a 150 capacity venue. Like I don't want to lose, because that's so much more to me on a personal connection with people. You're right there. You're feeling the energy I'm giving out, not only through these sounds, but also like standing here this close to you, you can feel my energy. And I love that.
Yeah. The stage is like you said, the us and them type thing. Mm-hmm. It's that can be a bit of a divider, but it's nice, you know, the intimate shows are nice to be able to feel part of the experience altogether. You guys put out a cassette for Rain Dance. What was the decision there, and do you think the cassette is coming back?
Well, it was a very cost-effective way
sure.
to get something out.
Yeah.
I wanted, and I'm pretty sure Danny agrees, like, I wanted something.
Yes.
It's cool to have a hard copy.
I just want
to
put it online.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have, I'd love to put everything I do on vinyl, but it's an expensive process, you know?
So is it cheaper to get your album on a cassette these days?
I did 50 of them with, like, they, like, formatted it for us, and I want to say it came out to, like, $230, maybe?
I think if you were to do vinyl for that for 50, it would probably be at least three times that.
Yeah.
And if you're doing cheap.
The way I feel about it is that it's on Spotify.
Right.
You're going to, you know, if you want to listen to it, you're going to listen to it. If you want to pay for it, go to iTunes. It's on iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want, like, it was just a cost effective, but also really visually appealing and like wonderful, like physical memento that you could have. And like they're bright orange. They have the orange on the cover.
Yeah. No, they look
have
great.
The stripes. Like I really enjoy them like as a small little like keepsake. So I mean, when you get a band's like CD, you just throw it in your car anyway,
yep,
and it's like someone—it's under someone's ass next to some fries. You know? So it's like,
have either you guys or all the band together been able to listen to the cassette?
I have not yet. I do have a cassette player. I just have to set it up. I've been getting cassettes,
like actively.
Well, not like actively, but they keep coming into my life. There's like a buddy of mine. Did this cassette where he just played all the instruments and then like just did these really slow versions of like old songs. He did like a really dragged out metal version of Floyd the Barber by Nirvana, like just super heavy, super slowed down.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Uh-oh. So yeah. I haven't listened to it yet and it's just killing me. But, but at the same time, I'm also kind of like with Danny, like I have this low. He made 19 of them and they're all numbered 19 out of 19, each one.
Are his like actually like yours are
no,
artistically
are,
done or like
no,
he like
his are
taped
he
over
made cassette like just like as DIY as you
that's
can
awesome
get.
Though
like he probably went to a thrift store found I'm pretty sure I have like some 80s band cassette that's him recorded over it.
Oh my god, that's hilarious.
I really like that idea. I like that concept of that cassettes are like having a little bit of a resurgence. It might be a small resurgence, but that makes me so happy because the first piece of music that I ever bought was not a CD. It was a cassette. I remember I needed to work at mowing lawns for like 2 weeks straight
to be able to go and get it.
Yeah, to go get
what was it?
The first one was Weezer's Blue Album.
Yes.
On cassette.
But yes, because I remember I went to my friend Bradley Jagger's house and he said, "You got to see this music video," and I was like, "Oh my gosh!" It was the Happy Days Buddy Holly video,
yeah.
And I was like, "Who is this band? I need to go and get this cassette right now." And then it worked, and it was only $10 at Target. It was great. What was your first cassette?
I was a cassette. My first cassette was actually REM's "Automatic for the People."
Oh, nice!
I remember it.
I don't know that I had a cassette of my own ever. I think my first like hard copy of my own music was a CD, but like my dad had all his cassettes that I would rummage through.
Yeah,
but yeah, Danny
did not own a cassette.
Yeah.
Oh
I'm
man,
I'm 23.
Dude, Carell, that's your first cassette.
Yeah,
there you go. It's all come full circle.
Great man.
Let's get into the change in sound that you guys have experienced because you guys used to play in a band called The Captain Hates the Sea, right?
Oh yeah.
And I would describe it as. it was like an electro meets metal band, correct?
Yeah.
So you guys are like the opposite of that now.
Right.
What sparked the change?
To be honest, with that band, for me at least, my cousin started that band with Danny, and they needed someone to play bass.
And that was that for Mike.
And they were like, we just need you to come to practice and shows. And I had a lot of fun because I just, the dudes, I mean, four out of those five people ended up starting Corral.
Yeah.
You know, the drummer of our band is the drummer from that band,
right.
JP. It was, they're just fun to hang with.
Yeah.
So I was like, and I love playing shows and it's metal, so it's high energy and I get to go out there and jump around and throw my shit around and then, you know, not be able to walk the next day, but
and vomit.
Oh yeah, I would vomit after every show.
This was
show.
A true thing.
We were noted for
every
really?
Show. Yeah. I just would get so overheated and worked up because it would be like 40 minutes of just not nonstop. There were no like ballads at all, and I like to move when I play. So
yeah,
I just would puke. I remember we played the Metro that one time, and then I ran off the side of the stage and just started puking my guts out.
There's nothing more rock and roll than just yakking right after a good, solid show.
It wasn't a good show if I didn't puke.
Mm-hmm. So, go ahead, Danny.
That music is very near and dear to my heart and was a huge experience in my life, and it taught us... I mean, I was 17 when I started that group. Like, I'm just not that angry anymore, quite honestly. I don't understand, like... I don't know. I guess I wasn't that angry then either.
No,
but
you're pretty chill.
Yeah. The change in sound came from everything that we were talking about before. Like, we played, we had samples, we had in-ear monitors, we had clicks, we had all kinds of recordings, like with using pods and things instead of amps, like all that stuff. And it was kind of like we had got sucked into this formula as like young kids not knowing how to navigate, like quite how to do a band yet. And like, well, who do we look up to? And like, what are these guys doing? And we did all that shit and it taught us so much. And like, we made actually some pretty cool music
for sure.
And, but then after that had dissolved in its own healthy and wonderful way, I was just like, well, fuck, let's do it different.
Yeah. It seems a little bit more organic now, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's cool.
It's just so much simpler, like we were saying.
Plus, I broke my computer, and I didn't have one for like 4 years, so that changed the way that I wrote music.
So, were you using like Ableton or something back then?
We were using Fruity Loops.
Yeah. Fruity Loops?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I used to love that program. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
What? Secret's revealed.
The secret's out.
Yeah, the secret.
Now, is there any bleed over from like the fan base of The Captain Hates the Sea to Corral now?
Our friends, I would say.
Yeah.
But the people that were into that, I think, heard Corral. I think we
played one show.
We played this one
they didn't like us.
Punk rock show where like it was like some dudes that used to be in a band that would play with the Captain, and they're like, oh yeah, let's get Corral on this house show. It's going to be sick. And we're like, yeah, cool.
And then they were like, where's the breakdowns?
Yeah. Didn't someone shout something about like, why are you so sad after one of our songs?
I think so.
Oh God, it was a bummer.
Ooh.
It used to be pretty sad though.
Yeah, but, you know.
But we were kind of, I was sad.
I think Corral is, like, unapologetically emo. Though.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we, like, follow that tradition.
Yeah,
like, not to say
it.
That it's, like, the centerpiece of the music.
Yeah, I mean, you do
more
it.
More than that.
You
but.
Do it in a way that's, like, you present it in, like, an upbeat fashion, I would say, or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's me.
I like it, though.
Like,
that's good. You
know, we're sad, but it's okay. Like, everything's cool. Like, everything's fine.
There's the headline.
Have a good time.
Yeah,
we're sad, but everything's cool.
Yeah.
Next album, maybe?
Yeah. I know. That, like, me, Mike, and, I feel awful. JP Zygmunt plays drums for our group.
Oh, yeah. Well, you should have given him credit, too. Sorry. So you guys are hitting the studio soon. Let's talk about that a little bit. But also, I want to talk about any rituals you might have, whether it be pre-show, pre-recording, pre-practice, or whatever. What's going on there?
Gotta relax, dude.
Relax?
Yeah. Sometimes you're corralling way up top.
Yeah.
You just got to corral down a little bit lower.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I think I know what you mean.
Get together, corral a little bit, and then just, you know, go jam or play the show. But you got to relax. Got to corral a little bit.
How often do you guys corral?
Every day. Corralling right now.
Great. That's good. Way to go.
Thank you. On point.
Sound effects. I love it.
So, yeah, recording. Coming up May 14th. Where are you guys recording? What are you recording?
We're recording with Kyle Allstrom at this place, and he did Rain Dance as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He actually was originally the keys player for the Captain Ace the Sea, which was it was a very long time ago. So anyway, we're recording with Kyle, studio called Crystal Studios. It's in Lombard.
Cool.
And we're doing six songs. It's called Leche.
Nice.
And it's going to be good times.
Have we heard these songs already?
You have heard four of them.
Okay.
At the dojo.
Well, yeah, you had to have been there
if you were live.
So I heard them.
You have heard them.
You've heard them.
Interesting. You guys, you know, you're using some effects, and I can speak firsthand that when I'm using effects, I have issues sometimes, and it's a real pain in the ass. Have you guys had to deal with that at all in a live setting?
My fucking DL4 tap tempo is not a thing anymore, so that's a really bummer. I need to get that fixed. My Line 6 DL4.
Isn't that pedal kind of notorious for that?
It is. I've had work done on it before, but it's essential to my life, so I need to do that. And that's happened during shows before.
Yeah.
That sucks. I've dealt with that too. But not from the DL4, just in general.
Right.
My volume pedal's broken.
Oh, I think I knew that. I didn't know that.
You know, I used to have a lot of amp issues.
Hey, when are you going to get that fixed?
Yeah, you did.
I mean, my amp's fine now. I bought a new one, but...
The volume pedal?
I'm not going to fix
it. Just don't get a VPG.
I'm sorry to do this. No VPJs. I don't recommend it.
Yep.
That little string. There's got to be something better than that little
string. Ernie Ball VP. It's Volume Pedal Junior. It's a great pedal. It sounds awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But it's literally this big metal pedal, all heavy duty.
Solid.
It's held together. The back and forth mechanism is held together with a piece of twine.
And then a hook.
It's ridiculous.
And it unhooks itself. But it is in such a...
Like the confines of the pedal.
You can't.
Yeah.
But it's the most affordable volume pedal on the market. So
I know, but for the headache.
It's impossible to fix, honestly.
Because then you got to buy aspirin, and that's in the next
You guys are playing on May 27th with Huntsman and Fade.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty psyched for that one.
Yeah.
At Quenchers.
I'm very, very excited. I play in Fade also, so it's going to be...
Double show.
But I love that. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really glad that because it's Fade's first show that Corral gets to be a part of it, and I think we're gonna, as Corral, gonna start the night off with some good vibes and
for sure.
Definitely.
I mean, because we're just having a good time and smiles are infectious.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a good way to set the tone of the night.
If people are having a good time, and I'm just a big believer that people go to shows, of course, because they like the music, but people want to feel good. And not worry about their everyday problems. And a lot of people use music in a therapeutic way. So when you get a show like this where it's like friends, I'm friends with my bandmates, I'm friends with the people in these other bands, all those circles of friends are going to come together with some kind of common connection through the bands playing. And there's just this vibe that gets created of community. And like we're all connected, and we know it because of these bands that are playing that we're all here to see. I think people go out to those shows because they know they're going to feel that.
I think Corral is like, I love opening.
I do too.
Yeah? Why is that?
It just feels right. I don't know.
Like, people don't ever, like most, you know, not everybody knows who we are.
Yeah.
So it's cool to start a vibe off.
Full disclosure, I play in Fade also, and Mike plays with me, and we've been playing for long together. There it is. But is it tough for you, Mike, on the same night, like going from playing bass in Corral and then like chilling, you know, corralling for a little while in between, and then coming back and then playing guitar and maybe bass in the future in Fade? How do you like cut your brain up like that?
Well, I always feel that I started out playing bass originally because I knew that I wanted to be in a band and everybody wanted to be the lead guitar player or the lead singer, and I couldn't sing. But I figured everybody always needed a bass player and a drummer, and I couldn't drum, so bought a bass. And because I then picked up guitar after that, I feel like I play guitar like a bass player. I just play it the same way I would play a bass, for right or for wrong, whatever. So it's not that hard to transition, especially like with the dual instrument stuff too, especially in Fade. It's very easy because the instrument on my body is changing, but I'm pretty much approaching it the same way.
Yeah.
Simple. I don't make any bones about my style of music. I just simple. I think if you can find a good melody or a good groove, lock that in and play it tight and play it on time. And like,
for sure,
yeah. A good groove is a good groove.
Yeah. I want to like get the love in the room a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
After the Captain Hates the Sea, Danny, why did you come to Mike to play in Corral? And then Mike also, conversely, why are you still playing with Danny?
I love Mike as a human being. Like, Mike is a good friend, and I just like being around him.
Yeah.
And we, like, both... We both see, like, the little things in the trivial in a lot of ways, which is, like... Which is nice, because our... like, as people, we play off each other nicely in that way. Because we don't have to be doing a ton to be having a good time. And I love the way he plays the bass.
Yeah, I mean, same. Danny's from when I met him he was 17 years old. He carried himself a certain way. I was older than him, and I'm still older than you.
He hasn't caught up yet.
No, he hasn't caught up yet.
No. I keep trying,
but he carries himself in a certain way that he stood out at that point, and just it's easy to do it. It's no pressure. He helps me grow as a musician because I want to be as good as he is at it.
Yeah.
You know, when I try to surround myself with people in my eyes are good at what they do because I want to then be inspired by what they're doing. And it sometimes blows me away when I'll just be standing across from him. He's like, yeah, I got this idea for a song. I just, you know, I was sitting around today relaxing, you know, corralling and wrote this. And then some like, you know, like this song he's going to play at the end of this thing, like, oh yeah, I wrote this. I was just sitting around, and it's just like Jesus. Like I get to be a part of that, and it makes me feel, it makes me feel cool.
Hey, you are cool.
No, it's whatever you think is cool because you think it's cool, and I think Danny's cool, and he makes me feel good, and it was. I always hold this one conversation we had, Danny. Mm. I was going through a rough time personally at one point in life. I mean, shit. That's life, but I think I brought it up to Danny at one point, like telling him, and he was like, really? I would have never known. And it's like, yeah, that makes sense because he only would see me like at practices and stuff. And when I'm hanging with Danny and practicing, I'm not thinking about what's going on. Like, so it's such a good release for me.
Mm-hmm.
That it's just easy. I mean, like any relationship I would want in my life, it's just easy.
Yeah, it's effortless.
And that's what I was going to speak to, too. It's like, you know, you can play with the most talented musician in the world, but not gel for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And then you can play with just some random guy. And all of a sudden, like, you know, you never speak to the guy before. But you guys are like, it's just effortlessly, you're able to make music and make something awesome. What is that? Does anybody know? What the hell is that?
I think it's the same thing as, like, falling in love in a different sense. When I first, the first like serious band I got to play in when I was in college was this band called She Came From Above. And my current and then best friend, Josh Overly, who I couldn't sit here and say enough good things about. I fell in love with him as a human being. We at one point lived together, worked together, played in a band together, were touring together. I mean, we were around each other 24 hours a day and I just got along all the time. When I came back to Chicago and did not have that, I tried jamming with people, friends that I knew from high school that were in bands, jamming with me and my cousin would jam.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't feel right.
Yeah.
Felt forced. Didn't like, not that it wasn't a good time. It just felt like, I'm like, man, this is a lot of work to like even just get a song rolling. But it's like, I always tell Josh, like, Danny's my Chicago Josh. You know? It's just easy.
It's how we talk.
Right. We communicate very well. There's no egos between us.
I mean, like, music is how we talk, too.
Oh, well, yeah. That's so easy.
Like that.
But I think it's like a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And
truly,
this has been a 6-year relationship. I mean, when I met you, dude, I was scared of you. I thought you were, like, this Johnny Cool guy, and you were always giving me dirty looks when I was trying to help you carry your amp. I used to go to Only the Name shows before I was in the band and, like, fangirl over him and the drummer, and... He wouldn't give me the time of day, and then now I know him, and I'm like, all right, well, I was wrong. But I mean, I love you too, so.
Yeah, I love you too, brother. I was going to say something. I'm totally blanking now.
You were going to say, I love you.
Yeah, I said that. Yeah. I love you, Michael.
Oh, my God.
If there's any reason why you, for people who haven't been, who haven't heard you guys yet or haven't seen you guys play, this alone, this, like, kismic energy between the bands that you guys are in, I mean, that alone would make you want to go to a show. I mean, obviously, there, it speaks soundly to, you know, playing with your best friends in a band and how you can create music. I mean, you put it really well by saying that you could play with just a random person on the street and just that kind of energy,
yeah,
you guys
wild.
Share that can really push a good song to become a great song and a good band to become a fantastic band.
Right.
It's very cool.
Yeah. Should we hear another song?
I would love to hear another song.
Awesome.
Let's do it.
I'll just say, come see us live. Like,
yeah.
We preach that. We like our records and stuff, but come feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with us.
I can vouch it's great.
We would like that.
We're Corral. This is Underground. Softly under me, and everything starts repeating, and you're feeling all inside out. Just remember who is next to you. Underground. Underground. Underground.
Beautiful, man. Sounded great.
Thanks.
See him May 27th with Fade and Huntsman. Raindance EP is out there now. Hitting the studio on May 14th. Lots of cool things coming. Get yourself a Raindance cassette. Corral, thank you for joining us, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Can't get enough of Sound Sessions? Like our Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter at SoundSeshPod. And check us out on Instagram at SoundSessionsWGN.
Damn it, Bobby!